Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Believe in Overwatch League podcast from the Believe Podcast Network. We are Matt and Kevin, and each week we're bringing you news about gaming, pop culture, and of course, Overwatch.
This week we cover game rentals, Blizzard, and more Overwatch League.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the League episode of the Believe in Overwatch League podcast. Hope you're just having a spectacular week. We are tired 20-somethings. How are you doing, Kevin?
I am tired and 20-something.
No. Wow, I just answered for the both of us. Oh my God.
In all honesty, I'm a little stressed. You know, we are approaching Memorial Day weekend, and for me, that means staffing for FanimeCon, so a lot of things, you know, on my plate, getting ready to not only go to my first convention in 3 years, but also being, you know, one of the main stage hosts there. So if you guys happen to be in San Jose for FanimeCon, say hi. I will be at the gaming stage. My hours are from like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. I'm just out there chilling out, playing fun games, and I'm like the nighttime announcer for everybody. So hopefully that'll work out for everybody. What about you, Matt? How's everything going on your end?
I am like, this week has been like a very easy week for me, but I still feel very, very stressed and tired and 20 something. I didn't have to go to rehearse. I only went, like I said in the news episode, I only went to 1 day of rehearsal this week, but it's just like knowing that I have to be on. But well, I mean, I know my lines for the play. It's just like the will I remember them during rehearsal kind of thing. Like I have them when I'm not at rehearsal, but when I go to rehearsal, my mind just erases everything that I have spent hours memorizing. So that's a lot of fun. And then I'm just trying to figure out like, I'm trying to find time where I can just sit down and like read things. Like if I want to get this horror podcast started and like planned out, and like my ideal goal would be to like have a few episodes in the can so that I can start releasing them in October because it's spooky month. And then also have time to like hopefully be working on them as the episodes are releasing. So I'll have a little bit of lead time, but like, one, I have to read all these stories and figure out which ones I want to do. Two, I have to find people to like do voiceovers and record. Three, I have to edit them all. And four, I have to like set up like an anchor profile, probably set up socials for them, which I will never post on. And then it's just like the stress of doing it. It's like, why don't I just lay in my bed and sleep forever? Let's do that instead, but I can't because I'm a workaholic.
No, I feel that. I wish that was an option.
You know what would have been really fun as a job, Kevin, if had we been born several thousand years ago? Why couldn't we just been philosophers? You know, just like walk around and think about stuff and like have that as a job.
We had to use our brains and then have other people write about us using our brains.
Just like, I think, therefore, I am. Holy Jeez. Shit, that's so profound. Pay me for that thought.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like imagine just being like Aristotle and just like, hey, these are my thoughts. People listen to me and give me food and money. And then thousands of years later, people are still listening to his thoughts. Like, how is that even a job? How do you quantify that into like something you could get paid for?
Yeah, it do be kind of crazy.
Oh my God, I just realized.
What?
Like, motivational speakers are just fucking modern day philosophers. I hate it. Oh my God. I don't like that thought. I really like that thought.
You did it to yourself.
I know I did it to myself and I hate myself for it. Why did I? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like that. Anyway, let's kick off this league episode before I give myself any more cringeworthy thoughts. Okay, so Friday, May 20th, we had the Philadelphia Fusion 3-0 the Shanghai Dragons, which I was very surprised by because I thought the Shanghai Dragons would at least take one over the Philly Fusion, but nope, 3-0. The Los Angeles Valiant lost 1-3 against the Guangzhou Charge. The Seoul Dynasty lost 1-3 against the Hangzhou Spark. The Washington Justice went 3-1 over the Paris Eternal. And the NYXL went 0-3 against the Florida Mayhem. And the Dallas Fuel went 3-0 against the Toronto Defiant. Then moving on to Saturday, the Guangzhou Charge lost 0-3 to the Chengdu Hunters. The Spark lost 2-3 to the Shanghai Dragons. The Valiant lost 2-3 to the Seoul Dynasty. The Outlaws 3-0, the London Spitfire. The Gladiators went 2-3 against the San Francisco Shock. The Toronto Defiant went 3-1 over the Boston Uprising. The Guangzhou Charge lost 0-3 to the Philly Fusion. The Seoul Dynasty went 3-0 against the Chengdu Hunters. We are actually on Sunday now, and I didn't even notice I was reading Sundays. The Hangzhou Spark went 3-2 over the LA Valiant. The Vancouver Titans went 0-3 against the Atlanta Reign. The Fuel went 3-0 against the Paris Eternal, and the Justice lost 1-3 against the Boston Uprising. This is also notable because this is the first week that we actually got games from the APAC region. So it was, for me at least, what was interesting to see was the difference of style. What was different about the style and what was also very similar about the style between APAC and NA. So I tried to watch three matches this week, but I got a headache for a couple days, so I couldn't do as many as I wanted to. But I did watch the Fuel versus the Dragons. This was the first match on Friday, and also the very first match of the APAC region this year. Sure, the Philly Fusion, they had a bit of a newer starting lineup. They had some newer people from their academy team starting and playing. So we had Carpe, Zest, Belos Rea, Fixa, and Aim God. So it was a bit of a mixture between the veteran players and the brand new from the academy players. The Shanghai Dragon, on the other hand, were just their standard lineup. They didn't really change much because why would you need to? You are the champions. What you're doing obviously worked in the past, so don't mess with a good thing. But they had Lip, Fleta, Void, Legion, and Itzayaki. This was interesting because they went 0-3 against the Philly Fusion. Like, seriously, like Zest, Belos Rea, MN3, like, these are new kids, but they were pretty much running circles around the Shanghai Dragons. I don't know what it was against about the Dragons, but they weren't really playing like the Dragons we remember. I'm not sure about, like, what they're feeling about the meta. Like, on the first map, New Queen Street, they were playing, they were playing Azaria against the Winston. And what I've noticed about the APAC region is that they do like the Azaria a lot. Like, whereas the NA region, they're mostly running Doom and Winston with a couple of Zarya's here and there. The APAC region was leaning more heavily towards a lot more Azaria play and Winston play. It just depends on the map whether they would pick the Azaria or the Winston. But it still feels like the Winston is still, in general, right now, the more valuable and, I guess, I don't want to say better pick, but it is the better pick because a lot of the teams, like, no matter, both regions are playing very heavy dive. Like, Soldier 76 is pretty much a must have no matter who you're playing. Lucio and Ana are pretty much must haves for whatever you're running. But with the Winston, you get so much more range and a little bit more shielding and like more spread damage than the Zarya. And the Zarya only has the two bubbles, and like, yes, you can kind of use them both for your team or both on yourself or mix and match in between. But there's just that lack of a sustained shield and a sustained sustained shield, but a good escape mechanic doesn't make that Zarya feel like the best choice. But I think, I don't know. I think overall the dragons weren't really, they weren't playing as aggressively as they could have. They played very passively, and I just don't think that they were ready for the skill and aggression that these new players on the Fusion have. So, I mean, this was the first match that I've seen of the Fusion. I didn't get to watch. They had another match. Definitely. Yeah. I didn't get to see them against the Charge if they played, but I'm going to be watching this team very closely because I want to see if this was maybe a fluke for them, if they caught the Dragons unawares, or if MN3, Zest, and Belos Rhea really are as good as they were in this match and if they can keep it up.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, like, you keep in mind. You got to just watch and figure out if, you know, maybe it's a slip up, maybe it's just not their week. It could also just be like, you know, there is something that works better for them. And we just haven't seen it yet. So it might be a case of, you know, early jitters. Hopefully we can get a lot more later down the line, but we will definitely see how that plays out later.
Mm-hmm. One thing that the casters that Avril and Achilleos did say is that the Dragons have a history of kind of being like this, in that they're not very good when they start out. They'll start a season out very, very slowly, but towards the end of the season, they'll just get a lot stronger. They'll figure out their kinks. But my question is that with these shorter, like, mini tournament runs, can they afford to do that? Because, I mean, next week, not this coming week of games, but after that, the first week of June, that's already the tournament. So if you're, with the APAC region being as small as it is, can you afford to have that lower record? Or maybe is that even a strategy for them? So they'll go against lower seed teams or something.
No, we won't know until they confirm it themselves, or if that is even a legit strat that they are going to try. So hopefully we get the answer sooner than later. So we'll definitely see if that is the case. I do think that teams do get better later down the line, and we are just, you know, at the beginning of the year, so a lot of these teams are still trying to figure out what they can get away with and what they can play with, essentially.
Uh-huh. There's also the question of whether or not, like, maybe the Dragons were just better on the 6v6 comp. Maybe the 5v5 is just not their style. Maybe they can't, maybe they're still working that out.
Yeah, it might be something that, like, it definitely takes more time, and we'll see if teams are ready to face them or not, and also, like, if they can adjust to the new style that is Overwatch 2, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so the second match that I actually got to watch before my headache kicked in was the Spark v the Dragons. So the Dragons did win this one. It was a 3-2, though. This is, I think, where it was really evident that the Dragons are a slow team to wake up, but once they get it, that's when they kind of do start rolling. for the Dragons, at least, this was not a very good showing, because on the Spark, you had Shy, Alfie, Bernard, Irony, and Super Rich. On the Dragons, you again had the classic Lip, Fleta, Fate, Legion, and Itsyaki. The Spark are just doing so, like, when they're starting out throughout these matches, like, Shy and Alfie are just doing such a good job of controlling, like, Lip and Fleta, or who else did they, or Who Are You? Like, I feel like they benefited from all the tape that the other team, that these teams have on the Dragons, so that, you know, like, okay, you need to isolate this person. If, like, for example, if, like, Lip kept getting taken out on Eichenwald, was it Eichenwald? Yeah, on Eichenwald, Lip kept getting taken out. So once Lip gets taken out, the damage on top of you losing a player, like, that's a lot of damage that the Dragons don't have. So you can easily pounce on that, especially with, like, a very skilled DPS line like Shy and Alfie. Alfie was, like, really big on his Reaper. A lot of the time, like, a lot of the fights that the Spark did win were Alfie just coming in and popping a quick Death Blossom and getting at least two kills there, which really makes it evident how big, I think, a 5v6, 5v5 versus a 6v6 change is, because, like, if you kill two players, that's only three as opposed to four people. When it doesn't seem like a lot, that's still, like, a whole lot of health and damage and body that you still have on the point. Yes, it's compensated by the other side only having five as well, but it's still such a huge change. I mean, halfway through watching this is when my headache did kick in. But what I will say about the APAC versus the NA region is that, like, even if both regions are very kind of set in the current meta, being, like, typically a Winston, Soldier 76, maybe, like, a Genji or a Tracer, an Ana and a Lucio, like, even though that typically is it, I like how at least for me, the APAC region had a little bit of variation in the matches that I saw. Like, on Lijiang was a big one for variation, because the Spark pulled out a Farmercy combo, which I haven't seen at all this season yet, which I really appreciated. Like, Alpha E was really good on his far, like, just giving the Dragon such a hard time, and they didn't know how to deal with it, even though they had a hit scan, which it's kind of ridiculous. But the Dragons also pulled out Orion for the first time from what I've seen the entire season. Like, immediately they did switch back to the Winston, but still, you had some variation. Like, Who Are You also pulled out a Mei on Lijiang. So I typically, like, just because I play more like the NA style, I typically liked watching the NA style more. But, I mean, it's already feeling kind of stale, because the meta is pretty much the same picks every single round, every single match, every single team. I feel like I might just pivot more towards watching the APAC region, and hopefully there's a little bit of variation there, and I can see something that is a bit more interesting than just the same dive every single time.
Yeah, sometimes, like, that's the thing that we kind of set ourselves in, is just, like, we see the same thing over and over again, so we don't get the joy of variety. And I do like enjoy to seeing what teams decided to pull out, and it is kind of the same deal. Like, once a meta is kind of set, we kind of play it. But once again, I don't know if hero bans are going to fix that at all. It might just be, you know, hanging out and,
I mean,
hoping that. Yeah, it might just have to be, like, once more players get into it, there might be more options or more things that people haven't had a look at yet. So Hopefully we do get to see that later down the line as well. I would be excited to see where this goes.
Or maybe just more balance updates.
Yeah, that too. I do think that, like, balance shifts, any form of meta shift is really, really good for the game. Not only to just, like, for variety's sake, but also to just make sure that everything is viable. There might be a counter strat X, Y, or Z. So we'll definitely take a peek at that if there is changes later down the line.
You didn't happen to catch the San Francisco Shock game, did you, Kevin? Because I was trying to watch that, but my headache kicked in and I fell asleep.
No, it's all good. I didn't watch it at all. I've been super swamped.
Oh yeah, you're getting new job stuff done, so that's totally.
It's new job stuff, and I've also been working 15 days straight.
Oh my god!
For the escape room, it's not that. It's also just because like as you all know. You know, COVID is still a thing.
Yep.
And so, like me at the escape room, obviously, like it's a very hands-on job. I have to like touch a bunch of stuff. I have to disinfect everything between every room. Apparently COVID decided, hey, how about this week we take away every single manager and team lead?
Oh no.
So literally anybody who held like a manager position or like a position to like run the games all just like went out with COVID. So essentially we've been self-governed for the past like this past 2 weeks, because the COVID protocol at the job is 10 days. Like you're out for 10 days and you cannot come back. So I think that's gonna be super fun.
What if everybody gets COVID?
That's what we were saying. It was like we just have to close our doors. Like it's literally to the point where tomorrow, like today, I close. Like I closed like a middle shift, so it was like a 2 to 10 shift. Tomorrow I have a 9:30 to 5:30 shift, and we only have like 3 people there. So,
oh no.
It'll be fine. I mean, as long as we don't have a bunch of people coming in, I get the joy of saying it's my last day. So I get to go in and tell everybody like, hey,
oh, congrats.
It's my last day. But it's not over. It's clearly not over. I have so much more to do, immediately after that. So,
how do you feel I'm excited. About leaving?
I'm going to miss it. Like, honestly, that escape room is like, the people who work there, it's like, how can I describe it? The best way how I described it to a friend was like, imagine if every day was a different sitcom like show, right?
Okay.
Depending on who you guys get, depends on how crazy or how bonkers the control room gets. And also just like the way how we interact with guests. So like we have like the typical gym bro. We have the funny Hispanic guy. We have the non-binary like weightlifter. We have the 6'2" guy who has pink hair. Like we just have like a bunch of just random people, and they're all like a great colorful cast. So, you know, me being the funny token Asian guy, they're gonna have to find gonna have to find a new person to fill in that role. So I gotta get recast. But I do think it's gonna be really funny to see how it goes, because everybody there is just like, it's really fun to be there. Highly recommend working at an escape room if you are shy at all. It gets you in front of people, it gets you talking, and you get to play games for and get paid to like watch people struggle or play games. I'm gonna miss it, but I think that like I told him, like I'm not gone. I'm not like moving out of state or anything. I'm just gonna be doing a different job. I'll probably peek my head in there every once in a while. So we'll see.
So now that you know the secrets of their escapiness, you think you could like pretty much solve anything that you were thrown into?
I think I'd have a good shot. I don't think everything is for me. I played a slightly spooky escape room once and I pooed myself almost, and I was like, I cannot play. Like, I don't want to get punished for solving puzzles correctly, you know?
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Yeah, wait, I can, was it really I can that possibly. Bad? it wasn't that bad. It was just like, I don't do good with spooks. Uh-huh. So, like, being mid
puzzle. Like I'm hard, like big braining, and then you get startled. I'm like, I can't do this. I don't know what's going on. So yeah.
In the words of Junkie, this game too scary.
Yeah, it kind of spooky. So best way to describe it is like I could probably get through an escape room. I could probably figure out like where certain things go. I wouldn't put it past me to say like I can clear every escape room ever. I do think that there will be one that I'll come across. Maybe whenever, you know, if LA ever does have, you know, another Overwatch League like LAN or, you know, homestand, we go down there. I wear some of my work shirts. We figure out a time to go to one of the locations, and we can play through maybe one or two of them. Nice. We'll definitely take a peek, but yeah, I do enjoy escape room. Highly recommend. If you haven't done an escape room, try one. Yeah.
All right, so let's look at what we are looking at starting on Friday for the Overwatch League. So this is going to be the last week for the qualifiers for the kickoff clash. We're starting on Thursday at 3 a.m., which is, oh my God, that's in 3 hours from when we're recording this. So it'll already be done by the time we upload. So it's the Philly Fusion versus the Seoul Dynasty, the Chengdu Hunters versus the Spark, the Shanghai Dragons versus the Guangzhou Charge, an encore of the Philly Fusion versus the Dynasty, an encore of the Hunters versus the Spark, and an encore of the Dragons versus the Charge. Then on Friday, we have the Hunters versus the Fusion, the Guangzhou Charge versus the Seoul Dynasty, the Shanghai Dragons versus the Valiant, and an encore of the Charge versus the Dynasty. Then we get into the Western Region games, which are the LA Gladiators versus the Spitfire, the Excelsior versus the Defiant, the Titans versus the Shock. And then on Saturday, we've got the Spark versus the Charge, the Dragons versus the Hunters, the Valiant versus the Fusion, an encore of Dragons versus Hunters, the Rain versus the Spitfire, the Eternal versus the Outlaws, the Mayhem versus the Justice. And then on Sunday, we have the Dynasty versus the Dragons, the Hunters versus the Valiant, the Fusion versus the Spark, the Dynasty versus the Dragons encore, the Uprising versus the Fuel, and the Gladiators versus the Rain, which I think that last one's going to be a good match. I just looking at all of these, it's like, I remember there were people who like their dedicated job was to cover like all the matches of the Overwatch League and like in a journalistic sense, not like a, hey, let's do a podcast like me and Kevin do. No, they had to like cover everything. And like, we're at the Blizzard Arena every day. How did they do it?
I don't know.
It's like with every sports reporter, how do you do it?
I mean, sports reporting is like, it's one game, right? Like, you go there, it's one game. You watch the one game, and then you call it a day, right? Like,
But sometimes there's multiple games in a day.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, this is just, like, ridiculous. Like, you're going here, you're watching, like, you have to watch, like, a ton of games and pray that it, like, that we actually get something. And we have a bunch of games, like... One weekend, you know, you have like 20 games to watch. You have to know what every single person did. Kind of ridiculous. So hats off to everybody who still covers the league. It's just a lot to go over. But yeah, I hope I actually will make it a case. After this weekend, I will be more on top of, you know, the Overwatch League and stuff like that, just because, you know, I will have time to actually sit down and watch some stuff. So
you'll not be like running ragged out of your mind doing paperwork and also doing escape room stuff.
Paperwork and escape room, like dying, you know.
Can't forget the dying.
Yeah, it's just inevitable. It's just happening every time. So we will see. We'll see how it goes.
what is life? Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in to our very tired boy session of the league. part of the podcast. Oh my God, I'm so tired. I can't words.
Yes, it happens.
Hopefully after this 3-day weekend, we'll be better. Apologies for our weirdness and our tiredness, but that's what happens when you're a millennial. But thanks for tuning in, guys. We love you all so much, wherever you are listening in from the world. And we'll catch you soon. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. And yeah, adios.
Next week, we update you on the Overwatch League and the world of gaming.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you like what you hear, please like, rate, and subscribe to us, and follow us on all social media at Bleav and OWL. Questions or comments? Send us an email at bleavandowl@gmail.com. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can contact the Bleav Podcast Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.